Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You're listening to episode number 2 of the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Sorry to disappoint you guys. Yes, there is a second episode. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 2. I am Ray Moraldi, but you may call me Ray Ray if you wish, or if you must save your breath and you want to use as few syllables as possible. syllables. Call me Ray. That's fine. It's my given name at birth, so it doesn't offend me at all. As you guys know, this is only the second episode of this rebranded podcast. I used to have a basketball podcast called The Chronicles of Karate, but to avoid confusion and a want to expand to other topics, I decided to rebrand this podcast. So to those that don't know me, I'm a veteran NBA blogger. I'm doing work currently at that NBALotteryPick.com, and I am also the founder of TheNoLookPass.com. So to those that don't know, you can also find me on Twitter at TheNoLookPass, so follow me there. So what's going on? It's not the greatest week. Not that I had a bad week, but I felt pretty slow. I kind of want to blame my roommate, who I will keep nameless for now. But I went out drinking, and to those that don't know, I have a hard time carrying alcohol. Felt like a blur, and I've felt slow since. I still feel slow now, actually, and I hope that that can be remedied within the next few days or so. And not only that, but I'm a little tiffed right now. So I went out with friends on Friday night to do karaoke, and I love karaoke. I can tell you a longer story about singing and karaoke later on. But to make this long story short, we went to do karaoke at downtown Portland, Oregon, and none of us in our group got on stage. None. And I was amped to go on stage, because here's what happened. Right when I got there, some dude on stage did Sex Machine by James Brown. Had the crowd going and had the ladies dancing. The dude was macking, and I was looking at my friend you. Shout out to you, dude. You. I was like, I got this, man. I got this. And I was all set to do Bye 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 NSYNC. And I knew some of the dance moves, not all of it, but I knew some of it, but I felt like it was enough. I just never got on stage, and I was so peeved. Like, we waited an hour and a half, never got on stage. Now, it could have been an honest mistake. It was a long list after all. Or maybe that woman in charge of karaoke was like, ew, boy bands. Because none of the people on stage performed a boy band song. And that's the thing. Like, I felt different from everybody else. You know, I was going to do a boy band song. No one else did. And I'm Filipino. And you know, Portland, Oregon is not really known for being diverse. So, you know, I was just going to be a different cat out there. I was going to own that stage. I was going to own it. And if you doubt my prowess, ask my friends. Ask around. You don't doubt me on karaoke. Not saying I'm the best singer, but I can rock that house, man. Now, the funny thing is that I apparently have this certain look because people know me. People that know me know that I'm all about the boy bands. And because of this little stigma, I try to avoid boy band songs at first when doing karaoke. At first, because everybody knows that I'm going to do it, right? So I try to switch it up, you know, something like Offspring or Avril Lavigne. Something stupid like that, you know? But here's the funny thing, like, people that don't know me would ask me this. Like, I think karaoke and, you know, some people are there and they're going to ask me what I'm going to sing. And they're like, so what are you going to sing? Backstreet Boys? Like, I apparently already have this look that is stereotyped that I would sing boy band songs. I mean, I guess so because, you know, I'm of Filipino descent, so take that however you want to. Now, as far as karaoke, or as far as singing goes, actually, you know, I mean, I don't think I'm bad. I don't think I'm the best, but, you know, I think I do okay. But anyway, as far as singing goes, this is a story that I've said many times, but it kind of falls onto the wayside as far as things that I'm known for, because no one really brings this up. But in 2006, I did the American Idol tryouts. 2006, that was the season when Jordan Sparks won. Oh my god, that's like nearly a decade ago. That's a long time ago. Anyway, So I went to the Rose Bowl with a friend. She was also going to try out. That was around 5:30 a.m. And I kid you not, there were already thousands of people around that time. And I was like, I'm just going to leave because there's no way I'm going to wait that long. And then at the last minute, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this once. Let's just do it. Whatever. And the people in line just took one look at me and said, are you just trying out just to mess around and get on TV? What do I look like if I'm not a boy band singer? Do I look like a goofball? Like, what is it about my look? Anyway, got to the stadium around 9:30, and we did crowd shots to the cameras. We all sang Daydream Believer by the Monkees. Man, that was trippy. That song was in my head for a long time. And after that, there are about 14 to 15 booths that had music producers and whatnot. And we had to try out in front of them, had to sing a verse for them, and then they will tell us if they want us or not. Simple as that. Like, there were so many good singers that were turned away. It was weird to me. Like, I don't know what they're looking for. I guess the it factor or whatever, you know, and that's kind of hard. Like, it's almost like chance, basically. It's like winning the lottery in a way, you know? And I finally got to sing around 1 p.m., and I remember that one of the producers were like, did you try out before? Do I know you? And I'm like, oh my god, what the hell are the people? You know? So I sang. I sang Always and Forever by Heatwave, and which is probably a mistake on my part. I did pretty good, but it wasn't accepted anyway. I mean, I did well. I mean, it's a classic song. Take time to tell me you really care. It's not a hard song to sing for me, but it was probably a mistake anyway. My friend was accepted. She did Game of Love by Michelle Branch and Santana. But she went on to goof up in front of Simon and the judges a few weeks later, so I kind of missed out on that, I guess. So that was basically my American Idol experience, and that was fun. You really only live once, so you go ahead and do what you feel like you need to do on your bucket list. The American Idol tryouts wasn't really on my bucket list, but my brother suggested it like a year beforehand. It's like, hey, you should try out. And I guess I just did it on a whim, you know? And it was my last year of availability anyway, because at the time I was turning 28 that year. I just revealed my age, didn't I? Whatever. Anyway. So, it would have been neat to get TV exposure that way. And to the worst segue of all time, I'm going to talk to someone that has TV exposure for a while now. Jackie Mesa Pepper, who is a freelance sports reporter, has been on TV in NBC LA for a show called Going Rogan with legendary LA sports reporter. Yeah, LA sports reporter Fred Rogan. She's been on TV for a long time now, actually. She was an anchor for Comcast, and she's done various news anchor jobs over her career. So we're going to talk about her career, about how she feels about women in sports, the NFL championship games, the backwards NBA, and erotica novels. Now that I got your attention, let's go into that talk. Scratch! On the line is Miss Jackie Mesa Pepper, freelance sports reporter, founder of pepperonsports.com, has worked for Yahoo, TMZ Sports, Comcast, Greek Goddess, larger than life, Jackie. Exactly. And I had told Miss Pepper here that, oh, we could do the podcast on a weekend, whenever. And here I am feeling so lazy at the moment. Like, I just don't want to do anything. But here I am. How are you doing?
I'm glad you rallied for your own podcast. This is very important.
I'm trying here. I am really trying. Because I took a nap earlier. Well, I like to call them siestas nowadays because it sounds so much more sophisticated than a nap.
Much classier. But much classier and well-cultured, the whole thing.
Isn't it? Yeah. And actually, this entire week, I felt so slow. It's like, you know, like a computer won't load or something. That's how I feel right now. Like, I have been feeling so slow this entire week. I shouldn't have gotten drunk last Saturday. That's my problem.
I was going to say, this kind of sounds like a personal problem.
But I swear to you guys, like, people don't really know this, but I don't drink that much anymore. I stopped drinking. Well, I've never been a constant drinker to begin with, but I decided on Saturday, hey, it's gonna be fun, I'm gonna go drink with my roommate. And yeah, that was just bad. Cause
it's
now
never
I felt
good.
So slow. It's never good, yeah. Like, I'm trying to remember this episode. Oh, here we go. Here I am going on all my drinking stories. But I'm still trying to remember the time when I was in Blogs of Balls convention in New York in 2009. I got super drunk on Saturday night, and I still have no idea what the heck happened.
And those memories are probably never going to return to you, buddy. I'm sorry to break the news.
I know. I've been asking all the people for the last, basically, 5.5 years. So what happened at Saturday night? I don't know. You've been hitting on some women. Were they cute? They're about sixes. Like, what do you mean sixes? Are we talking about California six or New York six? So... Yeah, it's been quite a memorable trip, I guess. Yeah.
Sounds good.
How's your week?
It's been pretty good. Working on some freelance stuff, some sports features in the works for the Super Bowl. So that's exciting. Just gearing up to go to Arizona.
Awesome. Let's talk about your career for a little bit here. So, like, this is such a messy industry. Like, how did you get into it in the first place?
I'll try to spare you the long and boring details, but I first got into the business when I was a senior in college. A buddy of mine who went to Arizona State University, and I went to the University of Arizona, so we were from rival schools, but he was a good friend of mine. He had, through the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism, had some jobs with ABC Sports and ESPN as what we call in the business a production runner, which is like the nice way of saying a gopher, just a servant for a television crew. And so he was working as a production runner for ABC and ESPN when they would come and do games out of Phoenix, mostly Arizona State football games at the time. And his crew ended up doing a football game in Tucson, and they'd asked him if he would drive to Tucson for it, but he was occupied, so he called me and asked if I'd like to take his spot. And that's how I got started. And from that first weekend working with the ABC Sports West Coast football crew, I was hooked. I mean, Dan Fouts and Keith Jackson on my first go, hey, it doesn't get much better than that. So I've been in the business ever since. I was behind the scenes as a production assistant for several years. Then I jumped in front of the camera as a reporter and anchor in Pocatello, Idaho, which was quite an experience. And from there, I moved on to Boston as an anchor and reporter with Comcast Sportsnet. And since that gig, I've been back home in L.A., and I've jumped around doing a lot of freelance jobs, both production and on-camera reporting. So I'm just trying to live the dream, Ray Ray.
Uh-huh. Was this the end game to begin with? It's like when you were a little girl, I'm going to get into sports reporting. That's a bad impression of you, by the way, but go on.
I was like, that's the highest I've ever heard anyone imitate my voice to be. But hey, whatever.
I can go higher, but that's just for everybody else.
No, I, as a little kid, actually in my preschool yearbook, I detail my future occupation as a cashier. I wanted to be a cashier at the store. And the quote in my preschool yearbook is, occupation, cashier, I want to sort pennies, nickels, and diamonds. True story.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and the funny part is that I cannot count. Like, I've never been good at math or counting. I'd probably be a crappy cashier, so good thing that didn't work out.
So you never experienced being a cashier?
No, never have. But the reason why I wanted to be one was because in preschool we had a toy cash register that you'd pull the lever and the thing would spring open and make a noise, and there were fake coins, and it was pretty awesome. But I'm glad that the sports TV thing kind of worked out instead.
Yeah, because I've been cashier multiple times, so wow, I'm a much more experienced cashier than you are. Take that, Jackie Pepper!
Oh, man, I'm feeling some low self-esteem coming on now. Thanks, Ray Ray. Appreciate it, buddy.
Right. Oh, man. So, we're going to get into the NFL championship games, and I'll confess right now, this is probably the least football I've watched in probably 20 years.
Why? Honestly.
It's the whole, like, the whole...
Blame Rick Goodell Rice thing. And Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, the Ray Rice thing. Yeah, it just came across like a storm. And then, you know, I was still concentrating on my move to Portland. And it's just like, I don't know, I just stopped watching for a little bit. It's I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
Feel turned off by it.
I had a really hard time getting into it this season. I mean, like, a really hard time. And finally, with the playoffs, I've been able to, and the last couple weeks, the regular season, I've been able to stomach it more. but, you know, it's just a shame because I love the sport. I will always love the game, but, and it's, you know, it's not just the personal problems of the players off the field, because imagine all of the companies and products, banks, things that we use in our everyday life. Imagine all the horrible people involved in those aspects of our lives, but we just never find out about them. So we're able to, you know, live guilt-free and function. But it's different when stories like, you know, the Ray Rice situation and Adrian Peterson, when that comes to light. It's different once you know. But another issue I have with the sport is the violence and what we know the physical and mental ramifications are of the game. So I've had a hard time for the last couple of years watching and not feeling guilty. You know, every time there's a really big hit, I cringe now. We as a population used to celebrate that kind of stuff and put highlight tapes together of hits. And now that we know the cause and effect, potentially, you know, I don't want deniers banging down my door by saying cause and effect. I'm not a scientist. But obviously, there are a lot of consequences to playing the game of football. So it's been an interesting few years for the NFL, that's for sure.
You'll never hear this podcast because in high school, I wanted to play football, and they flat denied me.
Oh.
Don't play football. Yeah, they didn't want me to play football. But now I kind of get it because of all the physical and mental ramifications that come out of the sport, you know, like concussions and, you know, all the violence and everything like that. So I can't really imagine how I would be if I don't know, if I play football. So
if I ever have a kid, I'll let him play ping pong. That's going to be like their competitive, hardcore ping pong. I figure that's like, I mean, I'm sure, you know, hardcore competitive ping pongers get injured, but it, I don't know. It seems semi-harmless for the kids.
Yeah, my dad actually suggested I play golf instead, and I didn't even try. I'm a horrible golfer. I'm too impatient for golf, and I've always been a basketball guy anyway, so.
Nice. That's okay. Yeah. I don't think you missed out on much with the whole golf thing.
Right. So from what I'm seeing right now, the Seahawks and the Packers, number one defense, number one offense. Who do you have on this game?
To me, it's really hard to go against Seattle. I mean, these guys are riding an 8-game home winning streak in the playoffs. So, one time I was in Las Vegas, and I don't gamble. Really, I've played like video blackjack a couple times and roulette. And the guy at the roulette table told me, don't change your color, like don't switch to black or red until black or red comes up. You always ride the winning streak. So to me, I have no reason to bet against Seattle until they lose. And
they smashed the Niners. I'm a Niners fan. So seeing the Seahawks just smash them twice this season, I'm just kind of like, oh, they're going to go all the way. And I look at the 49ers as like my barometer to see how successful the season
is. Listen, if Aaron Rodgers were healthy and not even 100%, if you were like 80%, then I would at minimum say it's a toss-up and probably even, maybe even on the road, give the Packers the edge. But we don't, we saw last week that he was hobbling around. And, you know, it's different when you're at home and you have that crowd behind you. Seattle, that is a different animal. You know, the 12th man is coming to play. So, I think it's going to be a close game. But I really hate predicting games because, you know, the saying, that's why they play the game. On paper, things can look one way. And then once you hit the pavement, it's a totally different situation. So I really am looking forward to it. And if there was an upset and the Packers pulled it off, that would be great.
Okay, so what about the AFC title game? It's New England and Indianapolis all over again.
Except it's a little different. Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. But I look at the Patriots as like the San Antonio Spurs of the NFL, basically. Like, it's just so hard to bet against them. They're always going to be a title contender.
Yeah, I mean, the hoodie, that guy, he's he's just, that's one thing that the Patriots have. I mean, this goes without saying. That's one thing the Pats have that nobody else in the league has, Bill Belichick. I really do think the guy is a football genius. I think many coaches are, but he's obviously proven himself to be the best coach in the modern era of football with what he's done. So, again, that's another team, like, until they lose, I just can't bet against them, especially at home and especially against a younger Colts team. Although the Colts have some former Patriots players on their defense, and I think that may help them a little bit. It didn't help them in their matchup earlier this season. But you never know come playoff time, and there has to be a point in which Andrew Luck sets himself apart and just skyrockets to that next level, and that will happen in the playoffs. So this year could be the year. If he and his team can take down the Patriots, well, we're going to see a brand new chapter of Indianapolis getting back to greatness, which would be pretty cool. But I'm not betting against the Pats.
Yeah, because I'm kind of suspect. I'm kind of the Colts defense is kind of suspect, right? Like they're 19th in the league. That's tough to go against the Patriots, who are just, you know, when Tom Brady's a quarterback, that's just tough to go against.
And here's the thing. If, in my opinion, if Brady and Rob Gronkowski are seeing eye to eye, you know, there are times when those two guys just, it's like they're dancing a ballet and everything just looks perfect and it's choreographed. If they're on that level and just kind of harmonious like that, I wouldn't give the Colts a chance. But, you know, everyone has bad days, and that's why you play the games.
Yeah. Isn't football so random? Like, there's way too much parity, you think? Because it's really hard to take the best team and, you know, pick them, and suddenly they lose in, like, the first round or something.
The guys on PTI on ESPN were having a discussion about the difference between parity in the NFL versus parity in the NBA, where the Lakers and Celtics combined for half of the championships in the history of the NBA. And they talked about the fact that in football, it's so hard to win, and you never know who's going to win. Whereas in basketball, you know, you have perennial winners. You only have a small number of teams that you can count on, like the Spurs, who are going to make it to, you know, late in the playoffs or to the NBA championship. But I love that about football, is that it keeps you guessing, and it does give not just players a chance to win from year to year, but fans. I mean, look at a town like Cleveland. How heartbroken are these people in that town for all of their sports? And football, they could get there, you know? I mean, not this year. Johnny Manziel wasn't the savior this year. But I think they have a better, well, I guess now that LeBron's back in a Cavaliers uniform, I guess they have a better chance in basketball now. But it is interesting that in the NFL, you do really have a chance, especially not just from year to year, but more so from decade to decade. Because teams take over and they get hot.
We'll be right back with more from Jackie Pepper in this episode of the Rary is Fundamental podcast. We'll be right back, but you can have some more pepper on break.
Hey everyone, I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Rary's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome, he's awesome, the NBA is awesome, and you are awesome. Have a great day.
Okay, dance break is over. Here's the rest of the interview with Jackie Pepper on the Rarious Fundamental podcast. Hit it! let's look at the NBA really quick. I mean, it's kind of different this season. Like, this season has been a real toss-up. We have the Hawks leading the East. We have the Warriors leading the West. The Blazers are awesome. The Grizzlies, the Raptors, the Wizards. What's going on here?
Well, the tides are turning. I mean, you look at, think of the Lakers, okay? The Lakers had a few down years, just really a few, in between Showtime and the current Lakers now. I mean, well, a little more than a few years of downtime, but still, that's not going 10 years without a title. That's not a very long time compared to some teams. So I think you're seeing a downturn for the historically good teams other than San Antonio. I mean, even if they don't win this year, who's to say they can't get back there next year? Those guys are just, right. They're kind of age-defying. It's unbelievable. But I think it's great that, I mean, unfortunately for my team, I've been a Lakers fan my whole life. That's my home team, so I always kind of root for them no matter what. So it's sad to see them go down in this way. But it's really awesome to see a team like the Warriors and the Blazers get back to glory. And even the Hawks, you know that it's hard to be a sports franchise in Atlanta. The hockey team had to leave and move to Winnipeg. I mean, it's tough, and the Hawks have had some really difficult years. I think it's great that they are where they are. The question is, can they carry this into the playoffs and eventually make it all the way to the championship?
That'll be something, a Warriors-Hawks finals. Adam Silver might, like, well, he doesn't have any hair left.
Yeah, there's no hair to lose.
I was gonna say pull some hair out, but seriously, the Lakers, like, they've been like,
hey,
I don't even
they
know.
Won more games than I thought they would win. What did they?
That's true.
What did they start the season? 0-8. I thought they were gonna win like 5 games the whole year based on the way they started. So 12 wins, I'll take it. I mean, that's way, at least, and even with some of these losses, at least the games have been exciting. It ends up getting frustrating because the Lakers just shoot themselves in the foot, like, every time when they're close, mm-hmm. and that's annoying, but at least it's been entertaining, for the most part, not in the blowouts, but the team has had some close games, and as long as Kobe's on the floor, people are going to tune in Los Angeles.
That's true. There's a thing though. Like, what is the plan? Are they gonna try to keep the pick, or are they gonna try to win games? And it's confusing because Kobe's still playing, and you want him to have, you know, the best team possible, but the team is just terrible. Like, I don't even know what to make of it at this point.
Well, I think it's here's the problem going into next year. Let's say, because this year is a disaster, so forget about this year. But moving into next year, how can the Lakers get better? Okay, maybe with a draft pick, fine. Maybe they trade a pick and then end up getting something good in return. But I think maybe the silver lining this year might be guys like Nick Young and Jordan Hill. Because those guys, coming into the season, you really couldn't get much for them if you tried to trade them. But they have really showcased themselves this season. And if they can stay healthy, they may be legitimate trade bait for the Lakers to get something big in return. It would have to be, you know, those two guys plus, you know, whomever else and maybe some cash. But the Lakers, they can't go into next season with the same roster. It just can't happen. It cannot.
Yeah. The problem is that, like, if they win more games, they'll lose their first round pick
because
of the Nash trade. Oh, yeah,
God.
So
Nash is just killing them in every single way possible, right? I mean, I feel bad for the guy. It seems like he obviously wanted to play and extend his career, and it just hasn't worked out. But boy, mm-hmm. to get screwed by one player the way the Lakers have been by Steve Nash just because of chance. It is brutal. Really, really mm-hmm. brutal. That's a tough pill to swallow.
I was actually excited about the Nash acquisition. Like, I really thought it would be, because he still played an all-star caliber year last season before. And it just so happens that, you know, after that game of the Blazers, when Damian Lillard ran in, so that was it. He was done.
And it is sad to see someone who was still playing a high caliber of mm-hmm. basketball to completely drop off so quickly. Mm-hmm. But this guy hasn't been healthy for years. Obviously, with his back issues for what, 10 years laying on the court, doing his stretches. I mean, that's weird. I'm sorry, but to be, like, lying down during a basketball game every time you're not playing, who else right. does that? And I thought I wasn't really excited about the move to bring Nash to L.A., but I wasn't against it. I figured, hey, get a good point guard in there. Okay, that can't be bad. It can only help. But obviously, it seemed like there needed to be more pieces to the puzzle than just Nash. But obviously, then Dwight Howard came along. So it looked, things were looking up. And then,
kaboom. It just imploded, basically. They're the classic example of, you know, a good team on paper, but right. on the floor, they just didn't click. So,
and that's
yeah,
an understatement,
happen.
Huh?
Yeah, it does happen. How's it working with Fred Rogan? He's a legend in the L.A. Sports Broadcasting Department.
Oh, man, Fred is the best. It's really cool because I have grown up watching Fred Rogan here at
the You both did, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
You both did, yeah.
I don't
yeah.
ever remember not knowing who he was. I'm not sure what yeah. year he started at NBC Channel 4 here. It could have been before I was born, I'm not sure. But either way, right. It is really cool in Los Angeles how there are certain reporters, anchors, and sportscasters that have really been around for a really long time. Also, Jake yeah. Hill at CBS, that guy's a living legend. So we've mm-hmm. been lucky in having some long-staying guys at the desk. Hopefully we'll get a woman who will be at the sports desk for many years. That would be great to have a legendary female sportscaster here. But that's another story for another time. But it's been really a great opportunity to work with Fred Rogan and his producer, Jared Kaimeny. The show that I work on is called Going Rogan, and it's mm-hmm. partly like First Take. There's a debate segment where I come mm-hmm. on with another sports reporter or, you know, radio person, writer, whatever, and we debate hot topics in sports, and it is a blast. It's really, really fun, and Fred is fantastic. He's just been great.
And it's way more informative than First Take.
Ouch. I'm not saying anything about that. Moving on. Next
hey, question. I can say things here. but does Fred ever age? Like, he's looked the same for like the last 25 years.
Dude, I don't know how old he is. I don't want to ask him and not be asked back to the show. So I'm just
right?
not going to ask, although I'm sure it's on Wikipedia or some other public crowdsourced information site. But he looks amazing. I mean, it's, and yeah. here's the thing, you know this about people, on TV, it's one thing because people, not only are they wearing makeup, but the lighting on a television set is just phenomenal. It's magic. But in real life, Fred Rogan looks awesome. He looks so young. I don't know what he's doing, but whatever it is, it works, and I'll take some.
Yeah, please ask him for me because I'm 36, and, you know, I'm getting some gray hairs here and there, and wrinkles are starting to appear, so, you know, I need to...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know what, though? I have gray hair, too, and I, like, don't even care. And it's in the in the front. And I got my first gray hair when I was 25 and working in Idaho, and I cried. I saw it in the car. I saw it in the rearview mirror. There was something shining on my head, and I'm like, what is that? And I pulled over. It was a gray hair, and I started crying. And now I don't care. I just don't care.
25. I always thought you were 21.
Oh, thanks, buddy. You're so silly. Thank you very much.
Well, obviously there's still this stigma working in sports, and I'd like to ask you about your experience because I know it so hard because because some of the men are still in that Neanderthal stage where it's like, what? A woman working in sports, you ought to be in the kitchen, honey. You know, stuff like that.
And they all sound just like that. Yeah. You know what? Every woman I know in the business has had a very different experience. And I think the good news is out with the old, in with the new. And I don't mean old as in old age, but it's a new generation, and the new generation, for the most part, has a more evolved and progressive way of thinking, which is great for me and other women in the industry. So the old boys club, while it definitely exists to a degree in certain places, those people are falling off, they're retiring, they're croaking, whatever. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. The women are here, we're here to stay, and I would recommend that people are supportive. It's a team. Everyone in this business works together, and I really don't know why you'd root for someone to fail just because they're different than you. I would think you'd want to be supportive so your team of people can be the best on the market and, you know, get viewers and listeners to stick with you because the entire team is great. So that's the way I look at it. I have no complaints. I don't worry about the haters. I just try to stay positive and do the best job I can do.
Mm-hmm. And you stay strong throughout. The funny thing is that because the reason why I never really had that thinking is because you know who taught me how to play basketball or at least showed me the game of basketball?
Who?
It's my sister.
Oh, no kidding.
A woman. Yeah, a woman. So it's like when I would watch my sister and my play ball, it's like, you know, my sisters would beat them. Obviously, she's like 16 at the time and my brothers were like, you know, 13 and how old were they? 9.
Aww.
Obviously, it's like my sister would beat them in basketball. So I was like, yeah, I want to be like Gina, basically, that sort of thing, you know? So
times, they are changing, my friends.
Yeah, they are. And hopefully this Neanderthal thinking will go away because some women are so much better at the sports thing than I am.
Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah. So, one more thing before I let you go. You mentioned Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that, that someone is making, like, an erotica novel series based on Rob Gronkowski?
I did see that headline. I also saw that it was pulled from, I believe, Amazon, which is devastating to me personally. No, I didn't read it. All I saw were different headlines, which, I mean, I was just cracking up at my computer, seeing the tweets and all that stuff. You know, for the sake of research and being thorough at my job, I think I should read it. I really do.
I want to
read
it,
part of the
too.
Narrative. It's very important.
I know. We both work in sports, and it's like we got to look this up. I would even read it on the podcast, if, you know,
oh,
if I get the
reading.
If I get the chance to.
Oh, that would
I know,
be
a reading.
Can you imagine?
A reading on the, yeah, imagine that. Like, yeah. Hmm.
I'm
so,
not opposed
what?
To that. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, how much is that? What, $3, right? $3 on the Kindle? Yeah,
probably,
I can do
but
that.
They allegedly pulled it, so it may not be there anymore, but I'm sure you can get a black market copy.
Yeah,
you,
I didn't say anything about that.
Just
I didn't say anything about a black market copy of that.
Slide into
amazing
your DM like, whoa. Just throwing that out there.
I know. Jackie, it was a pleasure talking to you. We should do this again sometime.
Thanks for having me on, Ray. Have a good one.
So that was Jackie Mesa Pepper. And if you want to save your breath, Jackie Pepper would suffice too. You can follow her on Twitter at Jackie_Pepper. And if you don't know how to spell that, I'm just going to think you didn't pass the second grade. You can also see her work on pepper@sports.com. And if you live in LA, Southern California, you can catch her on a recurring role on Going Rogan on NBC Sundays at midnight. Thanks, Jackie. Follow me on Twitter at TheNoLookPass. And if you don't know how to spell that, well, I don't know what to tell you. Pretty soon, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, but there's only been 2 episodes so far. So in the meantime, stay tuned to RareRay.net for future episodes. I don't really have a schedule on when to do them. They just kind of happen as I get more guests. So pretty soon, I'll have guests outside of general sports, and you will not be disappointed. As for my basketball stuff, you can check out my stuff at thatnbalotterypick.com. You can also catch more of my basketball stuff on thenolookpass.com and forumblueandgold.com. And if you have Instagram, there are pictures of dogs all the time at thinkrayray. That's right. You have to think rayray. Before I go, shout out to Chad, Bex, you, Ben, and Scott for chilling with me at that karaoke joint that didn't let us sing. Also, to the Gal Pal Squad, thank you so much for always taking care of me. You gals know who you are. And just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
Ray Ray. Game over, yeah!
Moded.